Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepard.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello, hello, hello. It is a Monday, everybody, and we are live and local in your backyard here in Southwest Florida. Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Another very intriguing and interesting NFL weekend. We will break it down every which way. I know all three of our favorite teams lost this weekend. We will get to all that throughout the program. We'll take your phone calls, too, at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow me on Twitter at CraigESPN. By the way, quick side note, you can follow Pete on PSHEP326. I had strangers tweeting me over the weekend wanting to make sure Chris was okay when the Finns were struggling mightily against the Minnesota Vikings. So I'll just throw that out there. Pete Shepard, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm okay. I can't see you. You sit to my left. My left eye is patched up right now.
You don't want to be a pirate.
I would like to be a pirate. I wish I had a cool eye patch. I just got a medical one on. It's humongous. It's wrapped all the way around my head.
Now you really look like Vision. More and more.
I need a little. Had
an Infinity Stone on top of your head. Actually, you had an Infinity Stone, I think, removed.
I did. I had a little thing going. I had lasered out today. Let me tell you this. I'm sitting down, and
this morning.
I'll tell everybody. I had a sty this summer, and it wouldn't go away, and it hardened, and it was never going to go away ever. And it's disgusting. I don't like it. And I said, I got to get rid of this. I can't be walking around with this. So. And I'm really squeamish, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't like anything near my eye. If I had to ever do contacts, I probably couldn't do them. So they do some numbing stuff on there, and then I see the needle coming in.
No.
We start off with the needle.
And your eye has to be open right when they're doing it.
That was the funkiest thing.
Yeah.
He put this thing, he called it the eyelid holder. And then I can hear him cranking it open.
It's a torture device.
Oh, I can't feel it at this point because the numbing drops, but I see it. And I'm like, oh my God. And then they cut the thing open with a laser.
Your eye?
Oh, well, the bump in my eye. So the skin, right under my lower eyelid.
The doctor never said oops or anything.
No, there was no oops, although it was funny. He walked into the room. All right, this is the room for the sex change. We good? I said, no, I just want my eye.
The ophthalmologist said that?
Yeah, wrong room. So then they cut me with the laser, and I don't feel it at this point, but I see this puff of smoke, and then I smell burning flesh. And then he comes in there and picks it apart, and it feels like somebody's like taking scissors, cutting something under my lower eyeball. And now I see the nurse who's helping out, and she's dabbing me. I can't feel it, but I notice the white cloth is soaking red at this point. I'm like, oh my God, that's my blood. And then he's like, all right, that's it. We're all done. I just need to cauterize these four blood vessels here. So then you hear this smoking zap. Burning them. So yeah, long story short, or long story longer, I gotta wear this humongous patch on my leg. Now he said I could go without the patch, but he said I would definitely look like I've been through a 10-round heavyweight fight. So if I put on the patch, I got a shot at looking. I probably could come in here with a black eye tomorrow for poker night out at the dog track. You can come see him. Come and go.
Yeah.
Play poker with me and Pete tomorrow at the dog track. Knock us out. You get $100 and get to see how bad my black eye is tomorrow when I take this thing off. So, yeah, it's not a cool pirate patch. It's nothing like that. It's a big old white medicinal patch with tape wrapped around my head, and I get to take it off tomorrow. So how was your weekend?
Good. Not as eventful as yours. No, it's pretty mellow. A little golf on Saturday, and then just watched a lot of football, hung out, went to breakfast.
Now, did your golf? What? This is the second time you played golf since your.
It was pretty good.
I don't know what to call it. Not your relaxation therapy. There was something else we called it that you had. I mean, hypnotize or sports. What do we call what you did?
Well, it's from the certified master life coach and hypnotist, Coach Ray, and he helps everybody, a lot of people with different. You know, mine was golf. I mean, he does other things. He helps teenagers improve school grades and sports abilities. Again, golf, baseball, get over fears. Lose weight, stop smoking, that kind of thing. So yes, it continued. My putting was not as good as I would have liked it. It was very good on Thursday, was not great on Saturday, but it wasn't because I wasn't. It was just more wind and some more damp greens than they were the other day. That was just more on me. My follow through was still good, but everything was still there.
Relaxed.
I was very happy.
Still in the zone.
Yeah, I was very happy. I only flubbed two shots the whole day, which was good.
Very good. Very good.
But anyway.
All right, Chris, how was your weekend? Anything unusual? I mean, we could get to the games. We all know that affects our weekends. How was your weekend? Was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Seriously, I had people tweeting me, is Chris okay? So
what, after the Dolphins game?
During.
No.
First quarter.
It was 21-0. I tweeted Craig. I said, I wouldn't dare text him now. I said, but.
I got in a fight with my brother.
What?
Seriously.
You got in a fight with your brother?
Yeah, because he thinks he's being cute. Uh-huh. My dad is going out of town for Christmas, so he came up with my stepmom and my brother and sister, and we did like a family
Christmas.
Yeah, a family Christmas on Sunday. Well, they came up at noon, so inevitably the presents and the post-holiday festivities ran into the first half of the Dolphins game.
Yeah, we're getting to
and I didn't make any bones about it. I said, hey, guys, at one, I'm outside on my chair watching the game, so we can do that. And my brother Brandon, the Dolphins are going to smoke this game. I'm like, dude, shut up. No, they're not. I'm not listening to this. You can go inside if this is the mentality you're going to have in the commentary.
Is he a Dolphin fan
or
he's
just being a...
He's not a casual... He's a Dolphin fan?
He's being a smartass is all
he's
being.
Pete, in a year and a half, we haven't heard much about Brandon, so this might be something in year two we dive into a little bit more.
I like Brandon.
Yeah. So have you met him? I have not.
No, I have not.
So that first drive happens.
The fact that it irritates him is
the Vikings average, 74 yards to carry on that first drive?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there?
Something like that.
Exactly what we talked about on Friday.
I told you. I'm like, dude, shut up. I'm not hearing it anymore. And I look over after the second touchdown, and he's just laughing at me. So I get up and I chase him. And I'm not in the best shape. Everybody knows that.
You've been running lately. Yeah.
I'm trying, but it's not there yet. It's not a final product. So I chase him around the house, which has me winded. This kid's a senior in high school. I mean, it looks like he could run 18 miles and barely break a sweat.
I
finally catch the little punk.
Yeah.
And he's stronger than me, too. So it's a bad combination. He's got me on the strength department, and he's got me in the endurance department. But you know what I have on him?
What?
Knowledge. A little how-to.
Yeah.
So he gets me in some weird suplex, and I'm trying to. But you know what? I got him in a chokehold.
You pull his hair.
I made him tap.
I made him tap.
Yeah. I was winded for about 2 minutes after the wrestling match. But got it.
Did your son get to see you being? You know.
He was outside with Grandpa.
Okay,
so that worked out nicely.
Well, the thing was frustrating about that game.
We knew it. We talked about it on Friday.
Everything that they could have done, they didn't do right off the bat. You knew what the Vikings were going to do was try to run the football right down there. But forget all that stuff. We can get into that. They make a great comeback, starting with the pick six by Fitzpatrick. And then they come back. It's 21-17.
Yeah.
And Miami's got the ball back again.
Yeah, they had the chance.
And what do they do?
Yeah.
They go five plays for 4 yards, punt.
Yep.
They get the ball back again. What do? 3 plays, -3 yards, only 1:05 off, punt, and then that was it. Those two drives right there. I'm telling you, Minnesota was – did you see the look on the place was
– it was quiet.
You could hear a pin drop. All Miami had to do was go down and just – the play calling was terrible again. The execution was awful.
I'll take it one farther. What was it, 24-17 at the half?
No, it was
21-17 at the half.
21-10 at the half.
Okay.
21-10 at the half. But Miami got the first first in the third quarter. So it's 21-17. They get two possessions and can't – and they stop Minnesota twice. They get the ball back twice in the third quarter, can't do anything.
But it's what Dolphins fans have come to expect. That was the game when it started going downhill. You throw your hands up in the air. You say, whatever. I actually turned the game off when it was 21-0.
Listen, these are their last six drives. This is pathetic. It's not bad. It's pathetic. They cut the lead to 21-17. They get the ball back. Five plays, 4 yards, punt. 3 minutes and 41 seconds. Next series, three plays, -3 yards, punt, 1 minute and 6 seconds. Next play, next series, three plays, -10 yards, minute and 4, punt. Next series, three plays, -9 yards, punt. Next series, four plays, -9 yards, turnover on downs. And then they had 8 plays at the end, and it would turn over on downs again for 22 yards.
But Chris is right. This is the momentum game that they needed that they never get. Right?
-31 yards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3 on 4 of their last 5 possessions. How do you do that?
I don't know.
How do you do that?
It was totally uninspired. And then I must say, on the flip side, the other interesting storyline, if you will. Well, this was the new offensive coordinator for the Vikings, and they wanted to establish the run, and boy, did they ever.
Yeah, and you knew Dalvin Cook was going to get the ball. You knew that. We sat here. I could have scripted the game plan for you.
You should have put 8 in the box all night.
At least a start.
Or all day.
They marched down the field in like 2 seconds in the first half. First drive was 3 minutes and 20 seconds, 6 plays, 76 yards, touchdown. Second drive was 6 plays, 60 yards, touchdown. Third drive, 7 yards, 70 plays, 7 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. Then the pick six happens.
Yeah.
You let Miami right back in it.
Yeah, they got away from the run.
Then they had a punt.
They threw and it went badly.
Then they had a punt. Then it was a half. Then they had a punt. Miami scores. Then they got a – then it's the game was there. The score is not indicative. But you – up until that last drive by where they cut the lead to 21-17, then they just absolutely stunk up the joint.
It's like they exhaled.
The Miami Dolphins had 193 yards of total offense. 75 of those came on a touchdown run.
The 4 of their last 5
possessions. Ryan Tannehill threw for 108 yards in today's NFL.
Yep.
It was an embarrassment.
But 4 of the last 5 drives, Chris, were for -3, -10, -9, -9. And none more than 4 plays.
That's
none
the type of game where you expect some garbage time stats from your quarterback. Where when you look at it at the end of the game, you go, oh, he threw for 303 and a touchdown. But whatever. You were sacked 9 times. You lost damn near 75 yards just on being sacked.
It was ugly. I really thought, but I thought when they had possession, when they're down by 4, I was like, okay, Minnesota is ready to fold like the cheap tent. I thought, I'm telling you, if Miami could have got anything going there and took that lead, I think the Vikings would have pooped their pants big time. But it wasn't even close. They couldn't even get a first down.
They couldn't. It was bad. And then the Vikings on the other side, going into the game, they were 30th in the league in rushing. They rushed 40 times. That's the most any team has rushed all season long. I mean, they totally flipped the script. We all saw it coming. We all knew it was coming, and they didn't do anything
about it. After the touchdown, Miami to cut the lead 21-17, they had 1 first down the rest of the game. That's it.
Ryan Tannehill had a quarterback rating of 4.
Oh, I know.
Of 4.
All right. So just so we're clear, just because I'm getting a little dizzy. The seesaw is going up and down. So are we back on to firing Adam Gase, bringing in Jim Harbaugh, and getting a new quarterback? Because last week we stopped that.
You saw Pro Football Talk, the story that came out this weekend, and it absolutely is a possibility.
It's okay.
Tannenbaum, Chris Greer, and Adam Gase all going. And the Harbaugh rumors are alive and well.
Okay.
And Stu Gatz even brought it up today, too. Well, not that means
that's
anything.
A stone cold lock.
Yeah, love it.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Time to commiserate with Dolph fan Chris in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hi.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again. Love the show.
Thanks.
You guys got me last week, saying, what's up with the Dolphins fans? Why aren't we... excited how our shot at the playoffs are, because we all kind of do. And realistically, Gase has to be gone, Tannenbaum gone. they need to get rid of everybody in the front office that picks the players, basically, in my opinion. And whoever's calling the play is gone, which is Gase.
Yeah.
I mean, there's several times where you can, as a fan, know what they're going to do. And other callers have said the same thing. And you know what? You don't think the defense knows that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He runs the ball twice with Kalen Ballage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, why don't not on the third play call a play action, have someone cross behind the linebackers, hopefully one of them bite, you get a 10- to 15-yard gain. Nope, he runs the ball again. They were expecting it. Because that's what he does.
Yeah, that's your idea is too creative. Do you understand?
But Chris, to your point, I mean, the drive chart after the touchdown, that's 21-17. They get the ball back twice, and they went five plays for 4 yards and punt. They get it. Okay, that's bad. They get it back again. Still only down by four. They go three plays for -3 yards, punt. Then it got ugly. Three plays, -10 yards, punt. Three plays, -9 yards, punt.
Offense, and how long until you finally say, all right, well, this guy's not going to get it done?
Yeah, I think we're about there. I appreciate the phone call, Chris.
I was just...
Hang in there, Chris.
But it's the inconsistency that we've had with this team, with this coaching staff, with this general manager.
This was the game to win, to keep the momentum going from the miracle. Instead, it was, you know, not the miracle.
It was embarrassing at the end how it turned out. It really was.
I'm glad you watched it because I sure as hell turned that thing off.
Too busy running around after your brother. 239 Skull Chant. Thank you for that. Another 239. Miami had it coming to them the whole time. Maybe they did. Armando and Bonita, you know, he's a Vikings fan. He's calling us back. Armando, how are you?
Hey, Armando.
What's going on, boys? How's it going?
You sound happy. You sound happy.
Yes, we They did what I thought Kevin Stefanski was going to do with that offense. Our defense showed out with 9 sacks. So, I mean, I definitely like where, as far as the Vikings are headed at that game, I know it's more of a Dolphins radio. I'm sorry, Chris.
It's everybody's radio.
With that 6-6, I thought I was like, oh, man, here comes Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And then second half, 75-yard run, I really thought they were going to bring it close. We were able to pull it away and... You know, I think that's the recipe for Minnesota. Rush the ball. I think we had most rushing yards in a few years.
Yes.
Alvin Cook had a career high.
Yes, he did.
What were your thoughts on that, on the play calling from the Viking side? And that?
We all thought it was coming on Friday because mm-hmm. that was the reason the offensive coordinator change was made. And they wanted to run the ball more. So the Dolphins should have been prepared for that. It was going to be a run fest, and it was.
And they ran it effectively. Cook had 136 yards on 19 carries. Murray had 68 yards at 15 carries. And then you just you set up the play action better for Cousins. You take a lot of pressure off for him. And he was very efficient with four. And, you know, had to pick six. But other than that, was pretty good. 14 to 21, 215 yards. A couple touchdowns. But you got Miami Ballage running for 123 yards. You cut a 21-point lead down to four, and then you go five plays and 4 yards and then three plays and -3 yards back-to-back series. Oh!
But again, he had 75 of those 123 on one run. So he had one run for 75 yards and then 11 for 47.
Because it came totally – well, that's still over 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still – but it became predictable again.
It's just, it's what this fan base is accustomed to. You get your hopes up. They go on the road. They will let you down miserably.
Yep. Yanked your heart out. Chuck in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Listen, you cannot spot a team 21 points in the first quarter and expect to win a game. I don't care who's coaching mm-hmm. the team or who's quarterback of the team. That team was so ill-prepared to play that game, it was miserable. And if you look back on the history of this team since Jimmy Johnson and Dave Wannstedt left, they've had zero coaches with head coaching in their history.
Yeah.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them has been a head coach of a professional team in their life. And we just keep on going after the next Don Shulas.
Yeah.
Well, hell, let's get somebody who's been there before and put them in the seat and tell them to turn it around.
Sounds like Jim Harbaugh to me.
How about even like a Jack Del Rio? Anybody.
I like that Williams guy out of Cleveland. If Cleveland doesn't re-sign, we go after him.
I'm starting to change my mind on Greg Williams. I'm starting to like Greg Williams. He's got it going on there. In fact, he's going to be the head coach of the Browns.
A couple weeks ago, I was saying, just bring in a guy like Wade Phillips. I understand that he didn't do a great job in Dallas as the head. But he had you bring an element of you're respectable. You know what to expect week in and week out from a team. You know that they're going to bring it instead of going out and trying to hire the next, you know, the next Sean McVay, which, listen, they're out there some years. They're not out there other years.
Wade will get you 10, 11 wins every year. Or he's solid.
And I don't count nine every year.
And I give him a lot of latitude when his days in Dallas, because anybody deserved latitude under that regime with that knucklehead breathing down your neck every day.
Let's go to Devin in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. There's the other surprise of the day. The Colts, who were blanked by the Jaguars 2 weeks ago, blanked the red hot Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Devin, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Devin.
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm a huge Colts fan. Even the seasons where, you know, they trade away Peyton Manning, and really upset by that, but obviously we're doing good now. Let's talk about Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
Rushing for 130 yards.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was ridiculous. How much of a chance do you give them to make the playoffs?
Oh,
strong.
I give him a strong chance. The way that defense is playing, right? I mean, we're talking Colts and defense in the same sentence. When's the last time that happened?
Never.
When Burt Jones played? Now you're back in that.
When we had Robert Mathis and Freeney on the same team?
Yeah, Freeney and what's his name at safety there?
Sanders.
Sanders, yeah. But still, this is, I mean, I don't remember those teams shutting anybody out either.
No. That's incredible. Look, Andrew Luck looks like he's back. And now you got some defense, and it's happening. It's exciting. The Colts are a team to watch. They're an exciting team. Yep. I like watching them play.
It's going to be a dogfight for them down the stretch here, because they're still right now they're the seventh seed. They're Baltimore's still ahead of them, but they're right there. So it's going to be a dogfight between Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Baltimore right down the stretch.
Pittsburgh, Brian, you're on. Congratulations. We haven't even got to this game yet.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's up?
What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys, I'm not here to gloat. First of all, it's good to be on this side saying Pittsburgh and New England. I'm calling to complain. Actually, the Steelers, they can't close, number one. Yes, they won yesterday. However, it took them five years to figure out not to play Tom Brady in a zone 10 yards off.
Brian, the thing is, they actually did it again yesterday, and Brady bleeped up big time. Because especially those last four passes, the third and 15, James White is wide open. Nobody near him. He would have at least got to the five. There wasn't a Steeler within 15 yards, and they would at least made the fourth down throw much more manageable. Instead, he throws four sort of Hail Marys to the end zone. I was stunned, because that game was right there for the taking again, or at least to tie it.
I told you last week there's no way the Steelers were losing four games in a row, but then I didn't have the guts to put my money where my mouth is on the pigskin pick. So what am I? I'm a hypocrite. I admit it.
Yeah, I just think they need to get on a roll here. Pittsburgh does, and maybe the new blood's coming to life in the AFC. And I just don't see them closing this year. They're a great team. They can play with anyone, but they play down too, and they just don't finish.
The third string running back looked pretty good, too.
239, I love when people do this. How about all the Pats fans who just knew their team would own the Steelers? Didn't quite happen like that. Also, Pete's saying Tomlinson was too stubborn to make adjustments. Wrong again. Actually, I'm not wrong again. Go look at the last four play. That was Brady screwing up.
No. You said,
a lot of it was.
Because you said on Friday, because I gave you room to backtrack, you said the New England Patriots will absolutely win this football game. I said, Pete, you don't want to speak in absolutes. This is sports. Crazy stuff can happen.
I know. Look, if you would have told me Seattle and the Patriots would have lost.
And you didn't step it back.
I didn't step it back. But don't tell me, because Tomlinson made all these adjustments. It was a lack of execution. Brady made bad reads. If he makes that throw to James White and the Patriots tie that game and go on to win it, Tomlin is sitting here, his feet are being held to the fire, and he is getting bashed. There is no reason on that play where James White should be open by 30 yards free or 15, 20 yards down the field all alone, and Brady throws it to the end zone. And he threw that horrible pass. He says it was to Gronkowski. That was his worst throw, as Zolak said, in 10 years.
Because it's over. After 10 years, it's finally over. It's the cliff.
There's the cliff.
He can't perform in crunch time anymore. Saggy face is done.
No, the mistake people are making is to compare, because this is the first time they've had five losses since 2009, so they're comparing that team. That's the only team, that Patriot team was the only team I didn't think they had a shot to win their playoff game. When Baltimore came in, they beat Baltimore earlier that year. But when Baltimore came in, ran the, I just didn't think they were going to win it. They weren't playing well. They had lost Welker in Houston in the last game of the season. This is they got blown out in New Orleans that year. They got blown out a couple times. That's not like that this year. There's like two or three stupid, idiotic plays that they have made that's cost them two games.
What, 1-5 on the road this year? Or 2-5 on the road this year?
3-5.
Oh, so they only have home games left?
Yes, they only have home games, yep.
Okay, Buffalo. And they're going to have to play at least one game on the road in the postseason, looks like.
More than likely.
Yeah, looks
like
number three seed as of today.
Just looks like.
Look, I think it's I think the AFC is wide open.
I think they're both wide open.
Yeah, I agree.
You can legitimately make a case for probably five teams in each conference.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I told
the Rams, we're going to get to the Rams later. They look horrible. Goff is the worst quarterback in the league over the last 3 weeks. Literally. I'm not using hyperbole.
And right now, if the playoffs started today, and what you'd have the Patriots taking on the Ravens. Nobody from New England wants to see the Ravens at all, ever. I don't care who's on the team, who's coaching, don't matter. They don't fear playing in Foxborough. That's the one team that I hope is not there. But look, Jackson's playing tremendous. I don't know. I think he's going to get killed from a football standpoint because of the way he's running the ball. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, he can't.
They have RG3 on the bench.
Who should teach you?
Why is he on the bench? Because he was running so much. But, the Ravens, it took him a little while to get going yesterday in the rain. But, Tampa Bay did what I thought they'd do.
All right, I want to ask one question going into break here. Chris.
Then there's your Lions.
We still have to get to that. And the F-bombs by Matt Patricia on live radio. Chris, earlier we had a caller that's tired of all the assistants. They want somebody with experience. And then a texter, I forget, from the 239, I think, said, hey, how about Mike McCarthy? Isn't Mike McCarthy just a more experienced Adam Gase, boring, bland play calling? Would you want a Mike McCarthy?
No.
He's an experienced Super Bowl winning coach.
I mean, who else is out there? Is he going to be one of the top names being thrown around?
I don't know if it's him versus Harbaugh. I don't know what it comes down to. I'm just kind of curious if a Dolphin fan would accept somebody like that based on what their callers have said so far today.
Here's what I want. One vision. One. Everybody in the organization pulling the rope the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want, and I don't know how to go about getting there.
Well, the
but get there.
The way you do it is you get Harbaugh to leave Michigan and give him total autonomy as GM and coach. I think that's the way you go. I think Ross is going to seriously, that's going to be his top priority. They got Jacksonville and Buffalo left. They go 9-7, something crazy happens, they could sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, but you look at it, there would have to be a lot that goes the way of the Dolphins for them to win.
Yeah.
Because the only team they win a tiebreaker over is the Titans.
Yeah.
They get in a tiebreaker with Indy. Indy goes. They get in the tiebreaker with Baltimore based on strength of victory, I believe. It's Baltimore that goes to the postseason.
Tennessee's got home games against Washington and Indianapolis the next 2 weeks. Baltimore has got a tough one. Baltimore's at the Chargers this week. That's going to be a tough game. Then the home against Cleveland. Who knows what? Uh-huh. So they can win both. They can lose both.
Right, but you look at it, Tennessee and Indy play the last week of the there's just a lot that has to go the way of the Dolphins. And we were talking about it last week. There's no guarantee the Dolphins. The Jets got a really good defense. I think they've kind of given up. But that last game of the year, if it means something going to Buffalo, historically, it doesn't bode well for the Dolphins.
No, that's a tough spot. Yeah. As I found with my team this weekend. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other games around the NFL. We'll get into that Eagles-Rams game last night as well. And Dolphin, you still want to commiserate, it's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. So there's really no point talking about the Bucks either. So.
No, but I'll tell you, we are going to talk about his UCF. Danny White.
Oh, yes.
We're going to get into that, too.
What are you doing?
He's making a bad move.
Come on, man.
The athletic director at Central Florida. We'll tell you what that's all about in case you haven't heard. It's Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday afternoon. Just warming up the band. A lot of football to talk about. A lot of, a lot of unhappy Dolphins fans today.
I'd say the most if we want to talk about sort of a stunning loss, not so much what Indy did to Dallas. I got to go with Seattle losing the way they did to San Francisco.
Everybody wanted to say Seattle was kind of like
we
the
said that line was off.
Hot team
yeah,
in the league. And
they have a tough time winning on the road, out. Too. But, yeah. but I'd say if they had one that's the most surprising, I'd probably pick that one.
Yeah, and all right, so Chris got to commiserate about his team. You've commiserated a little bit about your team. I'll talk about mine briefly.
But not enough, because we need to get back to the Pats-Steelers game.
Absolutely.
It's a wall.
I hear you. We'll do that. 239-337 ESPN. Old saggy face is falling off the cliff.
Well,
wall,
you have
whatever.
14 stupid ass penalties for 104 yards.
It's very unpatriotic.
106 yards you deserve. Only one of them I thought was
lost the locker
stupid.
Room.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, it's turmoil. One quick note. Pete and I are. It's the third Tuesday of the month already. Tomorrow. So it's your pre-Christmas poker outing. Come on out to the dog track at Bonita Beach Road. 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll be out there playing poker like we always do. You are all invited, even if you've never been there before. Just jump on in, and whoever knocks us out gets a $100 bounty. So that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow. I want to make note of that. So, the Lions went to Buffalo, hanging on by a thread, and I still don't think Matthew Stafford looks right. Galladay made some amazing catches.
Yeah, still pretty good. They're up 13-7.
Prater missed an extra point. They lost by a point, 14-13. It was a bad snap, but then he missed an easy field goal for him.
Well, 48 yards, but yeah.
For him. I mean, he could kick from 60-plus.
Yeah, but in that weather, it was a little you know, it wasn't great weather there yesterday.
But and then, afterward.
Bills had no running backs left.
Yeah, and the Lions still
DeMarco,
lost.
Patrick DeMarco, the fullback, is taking over. Patrick, who?
I know.
Who's Patrick DeMarco? But he was the only, literally, they would have probably had to use a tight end or a lineman if he had gone down.
Well, it's another inexcusable loss for Detroit. Matt Patricia was on the Lions postgame radio show live with Lomas Brown, former Lions offensive lineman, and dropped an F-bomb right on live radio. All Detroit is aghast of the foul language by Mr. Matt Patricia.
Wow. Sure, that never happened before.
Doesn't happen often.
Say three Hail Marys and Our Father and all is forgiven.
I mean, Nick Saban doesn't swear on the radio. he just yells at people. No, so it was a bad look all the way around. Yep. All three of our teams lost. Now, if we can get back on to complaining of the misery of the Dolphins or your Patriots and their lack of effort against the Steelers.
Oh, I'm
lack
glad
of effort. To continue
effort,
that conversation.
They were in the game right until the very end. They blew it. That game should have been to be tied, but they shot themselves in the foot a couple times with their ridiculous penalties and all, offside, false starts, stuff that was so obvious, was ridiculous. But it's just a shame at the end that Brady threw the ball four times into the end zone when he had wide open. But, hey, Steelers made more plays. Sanders was unstoppable. They couldn't stop him.
It's the most intriguing the AFC playoffs seem to be for,
I agree. Samuels was great. I mean, who would have thought? If I told you Sam was going to rush for 142 yards... Without, Connor didn't play. And then even Ridley.
Man, just former running backs coming back to bite
Bolden,
you, huh?
Bolden and Ridley killing us. But they should be okay. They should, get Buffalo and the Jets. That shouldn't be.
Yeah, but back-to-back weeks, hat and T-shirts games, and
I know.
Can't come out with the W.
But just real quick on Josh Allen. I where did this come from? I mean, we didn't see a lot of Wyoming games. You've already said
no.
A couple times, two or three maybe I've seen. I don't remember him being able to run like this. I don't remember at the combine or at all the NFL these shows saying what a great runner this guy is.
No, nor do I recommend it.
He's got deception. I mean, he had that run yesterday for a touchdown. By the way, that angle, I was watching red zone coming right at you.
Yeah,
coming right at you. And he got that 4th-and-1. He leaped over to get that the 2-yard conversion with 1:47 to go.
He missed what, 3 games this year with the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I mean, if
got
he
to watch
keeps
a great Nate Peterman for a while,
if he keeps playing like this, you got to pencil him in for 3 missed games a year, right? You can't run like that and play 16 games. As quarterback.
Well, the same thing's going on in Baltimore. They got to figure this out.
Yeah, and Jackson does it even more.
Yeah,
more
he does.
So. Yeah. On average, they're close. They're both close. Though.
They're more designed runs in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, well, Josh yesterday, he only rushed for 16 because he was at over 100, right, the week before. But he did have a touchdown. But, man, deceptionally fast.
All right, let's go to the phones at 239-337 ESPN. Sean in Lehigh wants to talk about those Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
good. I just wanted to say that I've been a Patriots fan since I've been born, and this is, post-Brady. This is the first year that I've watched them, and I just really feel like they don't got it anymore, man. I remember watching Brady throw that ball up in the air for an interception. I remember screaming at my TV, like, are you a rookie, bro? like I can't believe that he did that. And then, you know, the drop passes. The lethargia, the penalties, man. Like, that is not common. Like,
no.
I don't know, man.
But,
what the heck is going on?
But Sean, here's the thing, though. And it's after all that, still, didn't you? He hits Edelman with a bullet right at the end of the game. They're marching. I don't think anybody on the planet didn't think they were to tie it. And then to see him throw the ball four times into the end zone like that, when he had guys wide open. In the middle of the field, one time. I mean, it was unbelievable for Brady not to find the open guy. It's just unlike him. You're right. That pathetic pass that he threw. He says he was trying to throw it out of bounds.
What do you think's going on? I mean,
I think they're two plays away from two more losses being wins. That's what I think. They just didn't execute.
I think it's over, Sean.
No,
get used to it.
This is not like 2009.
Two losses
Sean.
In a row,
Sean. 2009. You knew they were getting blown out in New Orleans. They were having issues. They just they didn't look right. This team is not that team. It's just it's like two or three plays here or there, and they got three more wins. But they didn't deserve it yesterday. You can't have 14 penalties and 106 yards.
But you can say two or three plays on every single NFL game.
Well, not really.
I think you can. I think you've said that before.
Yeah, you can, but this is – you know, this is not like 09. If they got blown out before this, they are shooting themselves in the foot. Situational football in December, and they're screwing it up, which is unlike them.
Isn't that what has separated the Patriots from everybody else?
Chris and I are seeing clearly. But I only have one eye today. We're seeing clearly.
Brady's Craig just has 20 vision.
Brady's going to see that film today, and he's probably going, oh, my God, I'm an idiot. Now, the drop passes were killers. Edelman, two big drops, and Gordon had a big – those three plays alone – took points off the board for the Patriots.
But we're talking about things that never happened to the New England Patriots before this season.
And it gets magnified.
And it doesn't matter what happens the last 2 weeks. They're not going to do anything to change most people's opinion of them because they play the Bills and the Jets.
Yeah.
So they're going to go into that wild card weekend, which they'll be playing in wild card weekend since the first time since 2010,
Probably, yep. Yeah.
It looks that way.
Yep.
They've got the fourth.
It'll still be a home. It'll be a home game for them, though.
Right, but that'll be the last one. Could be the last one.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's all just right. It feels different. It feels like it feels a little bit different. And the fact that they're not coming down with these plays that for literally two decades they made the plays.
No, they don't have back-to-back losses in December. The record against the Steelers was off the chart. all of that, and as dysfunctional as they looked at times yesterday, it still came down to the last play of the game.
All right, we're going to keep talking about this.
But are the Steelers that good of a team? This is a team that was coming off of three straight losses, and they're able to break a three-game losing streak against the Pats?
I think it's wide open, and if Baltimore is that sixth seed and comes to Foxborough, they got no fear of the Patriots, nor should they. They have the great success against them.
We'll continue talking about this. Got three more hours to break it down. Want to get into the Eagles-Rams last night. That was telling in a lot of ways as well. And at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the Central Florida, their athletic director, I think absolutely blowing it here, trying to help out this football team. We'll get to all that. Sound Street is next. We'll also give away some tickets to City of Palms, classic basketball tournament in WWE. Warming up on a Monday, Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples. Go to our website at 993ESPN.com. Complete the Optimal Male Performance Questionnaire. Get $2,400 off the visit. Adam Gase, the Dolphins' offense just got beat.
Had a couple chances where guys were open. We don't get it off. We just didn't block them well enough. Man, we knew what we were in for as far as the pass rush. They just beat us.
Yeah, but Adam, you knew the Vikings were going to switch up their strategy and run against you, so explain your run D.
Well, the first drive, like I saw a couple guys run out of their gaps and, you know, try to make a play to stop the bleeding, which that's not what we need. We just need everybody to play discipline. And then after that, you know, it's just we'd stop them a little bit and then we'd let a decent one off and or, you know, like a 10, 15 yarder. We just couldn't consistently get a shorter drive. Everything just, it just felt like it wasn't going right.
God, that's just
that. I almost hear the crickets.
Oh, man.
It's unbelievable. It's
every press conference with the guy.
It is. Bad.
Speaking of exciting press conferences, the Patriots lose to the Steelers. Bill Belichick, in-depth explanation as to why we lost to the Steelers.
Lost to a good team today. They played a little better than we did. We got to play better to win these games. Coach better, play better. It's a good football team.
That's it. That's it. Mike Tomlin on the other side said it's a big win and we worked so hard.
It felt big because of our present circumstances. You know, we like to believe that we're the common denominator in all stories involving us. And it was less about the opponent and more about, you know, particularly how we have played of late in terms of having an opportunity to finish games. And so I think the significant element is not about who we played. It's about us overcoming the things that have been issues for us in recent weeks. Particularly, we were able to end the game with the defense on the field. And, you know, that's significant.
All right. Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. The other thing they didn't do was just run the ball. Sony Michel was gashing them. There were a couple, and they just went away from it. It's a head scratcher. It's been a head scratcher the last couple of weeks. I'll be totally honest with you. Some of the play calling and lack of execution. It's mind boggling to me. It's not over. Not by the longest of stretches. Not by the longest of yards.
All right, Matt Nagy. And when he knew his Bears were good.
Well, you could feel it all year long that we knew we had the talent. I think more so than anything, it was going to be how do we respond to adversity and how do our guys react to a loss? How do they react to a win? And I'll go back to the Minnesota game Sunday night when we played the Vikings and a former, you know, NFC North division champ. And that was a big turnaround, I think, for us to come in there and be here at home and win that game. And I think it kind of just really embedded into our players the true belief of how they felt where we could go. And you talk about it, but when do you really start truly believing it? And I think that was probably a time that I'll look back and think that's when we turned a corner.
Meanwhile, the other saggy face, Aaron Rodgers, reacting to a disappointing season.
Last year was obviously a tough year with the injury, and this year with a lot of promise early on, it's definitely disappointing for sure. The expectations is competing for championships and, you know, it's a good football team, but like I told some of the guys, I look forward to the battles over the years. I like our chances in this division moving forward. You know, obviously there'll be some changes in the off season. You know, we'll finish this year out the right way, and then we'll look to the future, which I think is still really bright in Green Bay.
Sounds very cheerful.
About Nagy, the first Bears coach to get 10 wins since George Halas in 1920.
Not bad, huh? Not bad.
They used to be the Decatur Staleys back then.
I remember. First, well, I don't remember, but I knew that.
Nah,
yeah.
You remember. Come on.
The 20s were rough.
Yeah, no doubt. do we have time for both the Cowboys and Colts cuts here? Because I want to get to
pick one.
At least, well, I got to pick Andrew Luck then. Andrew Luck and the Colts, they end up, I don't know, things were going pretty well against, I mean, they call themselves America's team, but I mean, we're kind of America's team. We're the Colts.
Well, we don't live in holes, so I, you know, but I haven't heard talk about it at all, and that's not a lie. Frank sets the tone, and it's about getting better. It's about getting the most out of every day, and that's what guys believe in. That's what we've done. That's what we did when we were 1-5, when we were, you know, 2-5, 3-5, whatever. You know, every week is just about getting better, improving as a team, getting better, focused on the process, and we'll stay that way. I mean, we believe in that. We truly do.
Awesome. He sounds more like Jimmy Stewart in A Wonderful Life every time I hear him talk.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely.
You know, Frank's just got his place really good football right now. You know, it's a lot of fun out there.
We're the last of the moon and bring it down to you.
That's great. All right, we'll get some reaction next hour from the Eagles win against the Rams. That was impressive. And still, we'll tell you what's going on between Central Florida and Florida. Are they going to play football or not? All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.